Covering the crew all season long on WTMJ, it's Brewers Extra Innings. Now live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios in downtown Milwaukee at the Avenue, here is your host, Dominic Cotroneo.
Live from the Coliseum for the penultimate time here in the East Bay, Brewers get the victory 9-5. Really fun day for the Cotroneo family. Thanks for everybody's kind words today in case you missed it. Actually got to call the game over on A's Radio today with my dad, Vince, the 19-year voice of A's Radio. So we'll get into that a little bit later on. But we got to talk about a win. Again, another series win. The Brewers have a chance to sweep the A's, get revenge from last season's sweep back at AmFam. And the Brewers, I mean, Colin Ray was good, not perfect. He had two mistakes that didn't come back. But overall, I thought the Brewers' offense did what we're used to. They definitely got some good luck today. Let's not ignore that. But once again, similar to last night, a lot of batted ball, a lot of long counts, a lot of, hey man, you got to come over the plate if you want to beat me. It wasn't one guy carrying the team. Jake Bauer's only hit was a homer. It was a three true outcomes type day for Jake. He had a home run, he had two walks, and he had two strikeouts. Those are his five plate appearances. William Contreras, once again, the only guy on the team that didn't have a hit. Didn't reach base either. Joey Ortiz didn't have a hit, but he reached base with a walk. William was the last guy to get a hit last night, too. So he's starting to finally look human, which is A-OK. I openly wonder if he's going to get the day off tomorrow and get that double day off, given the Brewers have now won the series. And you get the off day on Monday for him to get off of his feet for a couple of days, since he has not had a day off here in the second half. But once again, everybody doing a little bit of something. Each of the first six batters in this game scored a run. Only three extra base hits again today for the crew. A bloop double from Garrett Mitchell. A confused double by Bryce Terang. And the home run by Jake Bowers. That was a no-doubter that he admired as he rounded the bases in this one. A 9-5 final score as Colin Ray very quietly pitched into the seventh inning. Didn't walk a batter. Gave up two homers. But got his 12th win of the season. I know the win doesn't carry the same weight that it once did, but it tells you a little bit of the story of Colin Ray's season, that he's got 12 wins, that he leads this pitching staff. He's got a 3.61 ERA. He continues to impress over and over and over again, and the Brewers were opportunistic with their offense, drawing seven more walks today in addition to 10 hits, and they scored nine runs while going 5-for-15 with runners in scoring position. They got it done again. That's a .333 batting average. What more can you ask? We're going until 7:30 tonight here on 620 WTMJ. I'm flying solo once again. So come on in, call, text, whatever you want to do. 855-616-1620. Again, 855-616-1620. You can call, you can text, and let's get to a few of these as well. Similar to the game yesterday, Ruben from Michigan. Doug texting in, this reminds me of the early 70s, but now the Brewers are winning, not the A's. Times do change, and Bowers doesn't play for a week? No problem. How about a home run for him? You're right. Jake Bowers is going to be a big part of my next segment. Just sort of, you know, we talk about how many unsung heroes there are on the team. We got to start singing his praises, too, and maybe not what you expect. This one from Nate in Libertyville down in Illinois. Dom, congrats on a great day with your dad. Switched over to the A's broadcast from the seventh inning on. Sounded like a pro. Appreciate that for everybody who listened over on the A side of things today. We'll talk about that stuff a little bit later. Let's try to keep it to the game here for the first few segments. Anyway, Josh in Milwaukee. It's good to see the Brewers rebound with a series win this weekend. They had some luck on their side today, but took full advantage of it. Another quality outing from Ray. I tend to agree with you about him leading off a postseason series. Hope you had a blast on the broadcast. Thanks for that one, Josh. The Brewers get the win 9-5. We'll talk a little bit about Colin. We'll talk a little bit about Bowers and just sort of another balanced attack. And it wasn't the prettiest game in the world. They may not hang it down in the Louvre, but it might be down the back, but it's not going to be featured prominently in this one. But it's yet another series win for the Brew Crew. They'll try to get a sweep tomorrow and make it a winning road trip tomorrow, despite losing the series to the Cardinals, and then make it a happy flight back home to Milwaukee. 855-616-1620. Join us after the break right here on your home of the Brewers, 620 WTMJ.
This is Brewers Extra Innings.
Shout out to the folks who are headed to American Family Field for Green Day today. Green Day, Oakland A's fans, actually, from down the road in Berkeley here in the Bay Area. Brewers win today. They defeat the A's. They take the series a 9-5 final. I want to remind you that Brewers Extra Innings all season long is brought to you by Fifth Third Bank. With a local Milwaukee team, Fifth Third Bank also knows how to hit it out of the park. They've been serving businesses here in the area for nearly 15 years, offering industry-specific expertise and local decision-making capabilities, all to help your business succeed. It's commercial banking value that only Fifth Third can deliver. Fifth Third Bank, National Association, member FDIC. Let's talk about Colin Ray in this segment, Jake Bowers in the next segment. We'll hear from Pat Murphy, highlights a little bit later as well. We're going for another 45 minutes until the bottom of the hour at 7:30 Central Time. Today, Colin Ray, once again, for the second consecutive day, a first-inning home run. This one wasn't a leadoff today, but it was J.J. Bleday going yard on an 0-2 cutter. That has continually been the pitch that Colin Ray has struggled with. And in fact, both of the home runs he allowed today were on cement mixer cutters. And I don't want to just totally say scrap the pitch, because he threw some great ones today that, when it's paired well with his four-seamer and when he's using it to righties that, you know, using it as a start on the outside corner, bend off the plate because they can't read the spin on it. They're thinking it's the four-seamer, then it bends off, or he tries to use it to get up and in on a lefty's kitchen. I really see success there, but it's the middle of the plate is where he's getting beat with it. Again, he's now allowed 22 home runs on the whole season. 11 of them have come on the cutter. Half of them have come on his cutter. So it's one of those things that there's a sequencing issue perhaps there. There's a execution issue there as well. How are you using it? What's going wrong with it? Ray knows it's struggled, but he really wants to get it right before he ultimately decides what he's going to do with it for next season. But I digress, because overall, after allowing the home run, he responds by striking out Andujar. Then he goes and retires six in a row in the second and third innings. He escapes a leadoff double in the fourth inning by leaving him stranded from Brent Rooker. Then he got a key double play in the fifth inning to end the fifth, only facing the order for a second time through. Returns to the sixth inning with the Brewers well in charge at this point. They're up 5-1. And then a base hit through the right side on a two-strike hit, then another hanging cutter to Brent Rooker, who finally connected on his 30th home run of the season. He'd been sitting on 29 for a while. And then he locked it down from there in the sixth inning. I was a little surprised to see him come back out for the seventh inning, but we did have a ball game. It was still 5-3. The bullpen still a little bit thin, because one thing we learned about today's game was that Devin Williams was not available. Trevor Megill was the one who warmed up and got ready to go in today's game for the ninth inning, if it was still going to be a save situation, if it was still going to be a 6-4 game, which it looked like it was going to be when the Brewers entered the ninth inning. It ended up being 9-5. But it also was an indicator that this bullpen was a little bit thin today. You knew you had an inning out of Pyops. You knew you had an inning out of Megill. But aside from that, it seemed like we never saw Mears get hot. We had Koenig get hot as well. And he came in loud and inherited a runner to score, but Colin Ray had to give them some length today. And once again, he delivered with it. I thought Colin Ray, the most important thing for him and what got him off the springboard, if you will, of why he was so successful, is fastball command, and specifically the sinker and the cutter on the first pitch. So in total, of his 27 batters faced, he threw 19 first-pitch fastballs. So that includes the cutter, the sinker, and the four-seamer. And of those 19 first-pitch fastballs, 15 of them were strikes. And for a guy that everybody here in Oakland was asking me, how the heck is Colin Ray doing this? It's the multiple fastball look. And I know we just talked about the cutter and how many home runs he's allowed on it. He still threw four strikes with the pitch, one of those being a home run, though, to be fair, on the first pitch with the cutter. And in fact, of the 15 cutters he threw today, 14 of them were strikes. Of the 31 sinkers he threw today, 25 of them were strikes. Of the 24 seamers he threw today, 14 of them were strikes. And finally, of the 5 Ks he got, 4 of them were on his four-seam fastball. Everything else plays up when Colin Ray has fastball command. And the sweeper's still a very good pitch. Opponents hitting less than 100 on it. The curve was okay today. Wasn't great. He actually threw a couple of really good splitters today, too. It all starts with fastball command for Colin Ray. He relies on his multitude of fastballs more than maybe other pitchers, especially because he relies on deception, he relies on movement, he relies on staying off the barrel. And when he's throwing strikes, that's an indicator of him making sure that the ball is not leaving the park generally. Granted, the cutter was the mistake today. And I thought he did a great job mixing and matching and keeping the A's inexperienced hitters off balance. 855-616-1620. 855-616-1620. If you want to call in, if you want to text in, this one from Aaron in Illinois. Another W and another series win. Crew's been doing a really good job of lately of adding on. I thought that was certainly a massive key today, Aaron, given it was a 6-4 game. It was a 5-4 game heading to the eighth. Then it became a 6-4 game, and then it became a 9-4 game and allowed Trevor McGill to get a breather. He threw practically a whole game there in the bullpen, it felt like, but gave him a breather. I imagine the full complement of relievers, aside from Brian Hudson, are available tomorrow with the off day looming on Monday. So Devin can be in there tomorrow. Maybe McGill sits down because of how many pitches he threw to warm up yesterday. There are a lot of things that they can do there. Player of the game from Aaron here. This one coming from Pyomps, going back to his early 2023 form. He had a 1-2-3 under the radar inning today. Let's get the sweep with Frankie tomorrow, and appreciate you listening over on the A side of things too, Aaron. Let's talk a little bit more about the offense though, because Jake Bowers, his 50th career home run today. We like round numbers in baseball. We saw Blake Perkins have another good game. Adames had a great game. What do we think of this offense and the attack they've had these last two games as they've won the series against the Oakland A's? We've got another 40 minutes on the program here in real time as the Brewers defeat the A's 9-5. They claim the series, go for the sweep tomorrow. Stay with us here on 620 WTMJ.
You're listening to Brewers Extra Innings, presented by Fifth Third Bank on WTMJ.
855-616-1620 here on your home of the Brewers, 620 WTMJ. Brewers get the victory over the A's. They've won the series 9-5. Offense, of course, scoring 9 runs is a massive part of the story. And it was a slow-ish start, but identical to yesterday. 1-2-3 first. They give up a home run at the bottom of the first inning, then respond in the third. Today, they only responded with 3 runs, though. But again, the fire starter today was Willy Adames. He did not have a hit in St. Louis. He broke his schneid yesterday against the A's with a base hit that started that rally in the second inning. He did it again today on a 2-strike pitch. And talking to some folks here about Willy Adames, talking around the league about Willy, and obviously his free agency is impending, and talking about what he's going to be valued and what he's going to be worth, and made the observation that, like we've said for years, if Willy Adames can strike out near a league average rate, he becomes one of the most desirable players in the game. It's his best strikeout rate of his career, 25%. It's his best walk rate of his career, 12%. In fact, today, Adames, he had 2 hits and 2 walks. He scored 2 runs today, too. Even stole a base, furthering his career high, his 14th stolen base of the season. He's been empowered to go steal. He's been empowered to hit the ball hard. He's been empowered to be a leader on this team, and we are not surprised in the slightest that when Willy Adames has multiple hits, the Brewers tend to do pretty well. In fact, this season, as Adames today collected his 31st multi-hit game this year, the Brewers have only lost 6 of those 31 multi-hit games. They are 25-6 when Willy Adames has multiple hits. Nobody is surprised by that stat. Mentioned the 3 true outcomes day for Jake Bowers, too, but we've talked about Bowers, and I just want to give him his due here for a little bit, because it's not like the sexiest stat line ever. It's a .205 batting average, but he's an example of a modern player. He's still got a .312 on base, so to have an on base that's 100 points better than your batting average kind of gives you an idea of what kind of a player he can be. He does strike out a lot. He's good for a strikeout per game, 93 strikeouts and 240 at-bats this season, but still got a .709 OPS thanks to a fantastic on-base percentage, because he is a true three outcomes player, meaning the 3 true outcomes are the only outcomes that a player can control: walks, strikeouts, and home runs. There's no defense for home runs, walks and strikes, balls and strikes. That's just part of the game. And he's actually now 1 home run away from tying his career high. He had 12 home runs last season and 12 home runs in the Juiced Ball year of 2019. And the fact that he's been an inconsistent playing time. He's a great defender at first base and has been certainly an unsung hero. It's his best on-base percentage for a season since his rookie year, and he's gone through a little bit of a swing change this year. We've talked about the toe tap that he has switched to that has really locked him in and got him on a good stretch going. That toe tap started against the Kansas City Royals back on May 7th. When he woke up that morning, he was hitting 194 with only a 260 on-base percentage. But when you look back since May 7th against those Royals, when he switched to the toe tap and it really started to feel good, his on-base percentage is 330. So again, more than 120 points better than what it was. His slugging's over 400, too. I don't know, we see the batting average at 209, but I still see a vision one day that we default to on-base percentage as opposed to batting average as our first stat when we start evaluate a player and shift those lines, make it on-base percentage as the more important one. Because if you're on base a third of the time as a guy that's not playing every day, that's impressive, man. That is super impressive from Jake Bowers and a super valuable player when you put it in addition with his defense. So I just wanted to give him, it is sort of his due, his fun, and a guy that has some sneaky experience and has played in postseasons and knows this team well and is going to be a key player in the postseason for the Brewers. And one last note on Jake Bowers and something that's going to come up in the postseason is his ability to come off the bench, his ability to be a pinch hitter late in games and maybe face a tough righty. I know he only has four hits, but again, he's got seven walks as a pinch hitter. He's going to give you a quality AB. He's got a 423 on-base percentage as a pinch hitter, meaning, you know, 4 out of 10 times, he's going to get on base. And that's the real job of a pinch hitter, not necessarily to hit a home run, which he's capable of doing. But the fact that he's able to work count still without regular playing time, I think is something that needs to be noticed in what how well he's been playing for the Brewers. And another savvy pickup by this Brewers front office. Let's talk a little bit about the day that was. I know a lot of people asked and have reached out and have said some very kind things. Briefly touch on what today meant to me and to my family as well. We'll hear from Pat Murphy a little bit later as well. We're going to the bottom of the hour. Brewers get the win 9-5 here on 620 WTMJ.
This is Brewers Extra Innings.
Brewers get the win 9-5. I've had to be 1 foot in multiple booths today, as this was a really fun day at the ballpark for me and my family. Hi, everybody. I'm Dominic Catronio. First, I want to remind you that Brewers Extra Innings all season long is brought to you in part by Sider Heating, Plumbing, and Electrical. And right now, for a limited time only, until the end of the month, Sider is waiving their $99 trip fee for HVAC service calls. Visit Sider.com to schedule an appointment before it is too late this week, the last week to do it. That's Sider, Sider.com. So in case you missed it, I mentioned it briefly last night, but we were able to share it to the world today. My thanks to Dallaire Lowers, their broadcast director here in Oakland with the A's, and called me before this trip began and said, hey, we'd love for you to do a game with your dad if you're interested. And my thanks also to Johnny Dosco, who it was his game to do, who's now been here in Oakland for the last 2 years, said, do it. Absolutely. Take it. I can take the day off. It is no big deal. And got a chance to do a game with my dad, and my dad's been here for 19 years, and this is the part where I fight tears and fight getting choked up, because after 19 years, unfortunately, he is not being renewed here with the Athletics in their move to Sacramento. He is still capable and willing and ready to keep working. We don't know when that next job is going to come for him, so if this was the last chance and only chance we were to share a big league booth, I can't thank the A's enough for letting us do this as he nears the end of his tenure with the Oakland A's. The day, this is something we had done for spring training since 2016. I had been filling in on A's games since 2016 spring training for Oakland. That's where I would get my big league sort of voice out there. I was doing minor league baseball for 4 seasons, was set for a 5th season in 2020, but we all know how that year ended, and I was laid off by the team I was working for and, you know, find myself stuck in between, like, well, what do I do now? You know, I'm living at home. I had just turned 26. I need to worry about full-time and insurance and all the real-world stuff. And luckily, an olive branch was extended, a lifeline by, of course, Brian Anderson. and Brian convinced me to move to Milwaukee for the 2021 season, and I haven't looked back since. And, you know, obviously the A's and the Brewers don't play each other often, and the last time the Brewers had been here was 2019, and once we saw on the schedule last year that the A's were hosting the Brewers, we knew I was going to come to this series no matter what. Now, as things have transpired with the A's now leaving the Coliseum, my dad not returning, and, you know, they didn't have to do that for us. And I just want to thank the Oakland A's for letting us do the game. And I know some folks only know me as a post-game radio guy, which is A-OK, or maybe just know me as that nerd from Twitter or the guy that's the statistician on Bally Sports Wisconsin. But, you know, play-by-play is what I ultimately want to do. And, you know, I turned 30 in about a 5 weeks or so, and today was a really cool day to say I called a regular season big league game with my dad, you know, and I'm just honored. I'm humbled by the response, by everybody enjoying the call. So I hope it didn't sound too rusty. I'm really proud of my work. I'm really proud of what my dad has taught me over the years, and I hope that it came across on the air. So again, thank you to everybody who's taken time to reach out. I will get back to you. My phone's kind of been crazy today, and it was a little weird having to get excited for some A's offense because I was on the call in the seventh inning when they scored off Jared Koenig. And ironically enough, it was Daz Cameron, the other big leaguer's son in the ballpark today, Mike Cameron's son, of course, who got the base hit while I was on the call. So that was kind of funny. This family game, that is the game of baseball. So again, thank you from the bottom of my heart to the A's, to everybody who listened. This was a really fun day to work at a place that I love. The Coliseum will always have a soft spot in my heart. Up next, we will hear from the manager, Pat Murphy, after his team won 9-5, and we'll get some highlights a little bit later as well on your home of the Brewers, 620 WTMJ.
Welcome back to Brewers Extra Innings.
Welcome back. I'm Dom Petronio. Pat Murphy, it's been fun talking to him the last few days, you know, about his connections to the A's and the Coliseum. We played some of that earlier today on Brewers warm-up, and now he's leaving here with at least two more wins. So the Brewers get the victory today, 9-5. He addressed the media earlier today, and it was a long one. Pat Murphy in a good mood talking about today's win.
Code Red.
Code Red.
Yeah. To get you into the seventh.
Yeah, that was crucial. You know, this is a scrappy, scrappy club. They're very talented. They're, you know, like people say, they're not household names, but they're becoming household names. These guys can play with anyone, and they don't quit, as they showed. And, yeah, they're I tell you, our clubs are similar, I think, in a lot of ways. I mean, they hit with way more power, and but I think there's a lot of similarities. They're hungry, and I like their team.
The production you got from the middle third of your lineup, when you're getting that and tacking on in the eighth and ninth inning.
Really important, really important. Tacking on is however you want to term it, staying after it, you know, being relentless, pecking away, however you want to term it. It's the key to a major league game because it's hard to win a major league game, and there's really good players on both sides, and you know, the wrong pitch at the wrong time.
They came back, they were starting.
There's a reason their record's as good as it is, and there's a reason they're in every game, and their second half record is what it is. It's because they're good and they fight. They love to play, and they're not afraid. So I appreciate them. I like our ball club. I like what we did today. A lot of guys, I think most of the breaks went our way today. Every close play went in our favor, and we had a lot of soft hits. And then, you know, like Adames was amazing. He had five quality ABs. You don't see that much in a game, five quality ABs. And then, you know, you're looking at the job. Contreras didn't get a hit, but he really got us through. You know, he navigated once again four pitchers and got us through. And that's, you know, that's huge. And he doesn't get the credit because all you see in the box score is 0 for whatever. And, you know, but he didn't let it affect his catching. So I thought those two stick out. Bowers, you know, he hasn't played a lot, but when he gets his chances, he helps us. Had a couple good ABs. You know, Ortiz is underrated. You know, the defense he played. Terang didn't get a hit for his first four, came up big, and then base ran big at the end. You know, Joel Piamps underrated as hell. Like, this guy's just been, his last 10 or 11 outings have just been really, really consistent and quick.
You know, about hours. His value to the team, you know, in wins and losses, look a lot better than his statistical value as a hitter. How does the translation work in your mind? What are the things he brings that, you know, allow that to happen?
Powers. Yeah, the strike ball is usually really good. I mean, that last AB, I'd like the stun gun. If I had a stun gun, I'd stun him. but you know, he's got a good strike ball. He's got a good swing. He's a really good receiver at first, and he knows how to play off the bench. And how many guys really know how to play off the bench? You know, he really knows how to play off the bench, so it's really been helpful for us.
You've been able to DH Reese, I think, about, I don't know the exact number is, but a lot of time. Is that easier to do when you have a guy like Powers?
For sure. For sure. He's been a great compliment, and although neither of their batting averages are, but that's an outdated statistic. They're both slugging, they're both slugging, and their strike balls, they're both got a high number of walks. So I appreciate that.
In fact, you mentioned comparisons with your club in Oakland, but obviously they're going in one direction, they're going in another. How important is it at this time of the year for you guys to come into a team that is going in another?
It's the toughest games to play.
Yeah.
Well, we're not. We haven't taken care of business yet, but we're. I think we're somewhat fortunate today, but you know, again, I like that our ball club just keeps going, and we base ran pretty well there in that last inning. We hustled, you know what I mean, and instead of being tired, it's 130 games in and just jogging, you know, like we hustled around. Bowers running all the way around on the blooper to left that came back fair, you know. I think that, you know, everybody's circumstances are different, but I just know that they're scrappy and they play hungry. And they have good players. There's three or four of their guys that, you know, I'd take in a heartbeat, you know, in the way they play the game. So, yeah. And that pitcher today spooked me now. You got to remember, Sophia knows this. Like, my closest friend in the world was Bob Welch, and he wore number 35 for the Oakland A's. So when I saw Boyle go out there with 35, and he's a Notre Dame kid, and I have that association with Notre Dame, and I'm like, wow, this has got to mean something. And then I saw his first pitch at 99.2. I'm like, whoa.
They've got some decent young arms on their staff, for sure.
They sure do. Two guys we faced are plenty good.
Sears.
Yeah.
That kid's come out of nowhere these last couple of years and really established himself.
Yeah. Those two guys are plenty good. They're they got a nice bunch. I saw the kid, their three-hole hitter when he was with Miami, so I knew that he was going to be pretty special. And I like a ton of their players.
Yeah. Is there something physical keeping Devin from pitching? He was not up in the ninth when the thing was.
Yeah. I mean, he's got a little left shoulder, not his right shoulder. He's got a little left shoulder pinch this morning. He didn't feel great, and I just don't want to risk anything with him right now after all he's been through. So he got up this morning, and his left shoulder, he didn't feel right, and played catch, and just watching him play catch, it just didn't look right. So I asked him about it. He said, yeah, it's really sore. So there wasn't an incident or anything like that. He slept on it wrong or something like that.
All right, so no big deal there for Devin, but something we will monitor for tomorrow. And again, they have an off day on Monday. One way you can do it is you can just win by a blowout tomorrow, not need to use any of your leverage arms tomorrow like they've had the last couple of days. Highlights coming up next, though, as the Brewers win 9-5 over the A's as they've won the series to go for the sweep tomorrow on 620 WTMJ.
Ready for this?
Get up!
This?
Get up!
And this?
Get up!
Time for tonight's highlights. Here's Dominic Catronio.
Brewers and A's, game two from the Coliseum here in the East Bay as Colin Ray, Code Red, got the ball for the crew. Going up against the rookie right-hander Joe Boyle. Boyle had a 1-2-3 first. Ray allowed a solo homer in the bottom of the first, and the A's had the early lead for the second consecutive day. But also for the second consecutive day, the Brewers would respond in the second inning. A leadoff single from Adames, a walk from Bowers, a single from Hoskins that hit off of the pitcher Boyle that loaded the bases. Garrett Mitchell put the ball in play, a ground out, scored the first run of the game to tie things. The next batter was Blake Perkins.
And the pitch. And Blake, a little soft liner, deep in the hole, it's short. Gloved by Schumann, throws across his body to first, not in time. An RBI single for Perkins as Bowers scores from third, and the Brewers have a 2-1 lead.
Lane Grindle's call, and they weren't done in the inning, as the Brewers would add another run thanks to a bases-loaded walk from Jackson Churio. And all, they made Boyle throw 40 pitches in a three-run second inning. But he and Ray would settle in from there, trading zeros in the third, in the fourth. But then in the fifth, it was Jake Bowers breaking through in what could have been Boyle's last hitter.
Good count to try to do some damage with if you're Bowers. Boyle kicks, delivers, and Bowers a high drive, deep right center field. Racing back is Butler at the track. It is gone. Jake Bowers, a two-run blast, and the Brewers lead it 5-1.
Again, Lane Grindle's call. Another homer for Bowers, his 11th of the season. So the Brewers in control now. It's 5-1. However, the A's, the pesky bunch that they are, started to tick away against Colin Ray. In the sixth inning, a two-run homer from Brent Rooker, back-to-back 30-homer seasons for the A's DH. That made it 5-3. And then in the seventh inning, a pinch-hit RBI double by Daz Cameron, the son of former Brewer Mike Cameron, made this a one-run game. Koenig was on. He was facing the lefty, J.J. Bladé.
Cameron at second, Rooker at first. Koenig, another 2-2. Bladé tried to check on a high one. They appeal. He went around, strike three. High-cut fastball, and Koenig gets J.J. Bladé to preserve the lead for the Brewers.
Josh Maurer's call on WTMJ. So Koenig allows an inherited run under score, but that's all. They're in good shape. As we head to the eighth inning, the Brewers would get the offense back into gear against the A's bullpen. A one-out walk by Bowers once again, and with two outs and two strikes, you put it in play, and good things happen for Garrett Mitchell.
2-2, popped up, shallow left field, long run out for the third baseman, Nevin. He won't get there. It drops in fair territory. Bowers around 30 will score. Oh, a bloop. RBI double for Garrett Mitchell.
That made it a close game, a two-run lead for the Brewers, looking for some more insurance as they move to the ninth. It all began with a leadoff double from Bryce Terang, and then some great base running. An infield hit from Jackson Churio, reaching 30.6 feet per second on his sprint. Then the next batter was William Contreras.
Here's the 2-2. Slider, bounce to third. Nevin gets it on a hop, throws home. Safe! Terang under the tag of Langoliers. And the Brewers have a 7-4 lead.
And they still weren't done in the frame, as later on in the inning, you also had Reese Hoskins coming to the plate. And same thought, put it in play. Good things happen.
The pitch, and Hoskins hits one in the air, shallow left, dying quickly. Coming in as Andujar. He won't get there. Contreras will trot home from third. It's an RBI single for Hoskins, and it's 9-4 Milwaukee.
They also had added a run on a pass ball, 9-4. It got a little stressful in the bottom of the ninth. One run scored. The tying run came on deck, but Bryce Wilson finished off the game and the victory for the Brewers, and a series win for the Brewers as they take the first two here at the Coliseum. Colin Ray collects his 12th win of the season. We'll preview tomorrow and give you the update for the out-of-town scoreboard, what you're looking out for as the Brewers finish up this first penultimate West Coast trip. They got one more trip coming up next week. Talk about that next on 620 WTMJ.
I'm on top of the world, hey. I'm on top of the world, hey.
Last few minutes of the program here. Got about five more minutes on the show as the Brewers win 9-5. We're going to take a deep look at the out-of-town scoreboard here and get you ready for what to be prepared for the Brewers as they try to finish off this sweep tomorrow. As we take a peek in Kansas City, where the Phillies are the opponent for the Royals, the Phillies have jumped out to a 2-0 lead at the time. They're in the top of the fifth inning right now. RBIs from Bryce Harper and Trey Turner in that one. Ranger Suarez back from the injured list, getting the start today against Brady Singer for the Royals. The Brewers entered today tied in record with the Phillies. Of course, they would have to win to keep up. The Brewers still have one more series to go with the Phillies, and I will say it every time, they have to sweep to win that tiebreaker. Otherwise, they have to take the better record outright. Other games that went final that pertain to the Brewers in the wild card picture of maybe who they could be playing. Arizona continues to be the hottest team in baseball. They defeat the Red Sox. They've won that series. They'll go for a sweep tomorrow. The Diamondbacks are now 74-56, so a couple of games in hand there because of scheduling anomalies. But they're only one game back of the Brewers in record. Now, they're probably not going to catch the Dodgers, but there is a scenario where there are two wild card teams between them and San Diego that could have just as good of a record as the Brewers do as they head into the postseason, an anomaly that we haven't seen all that much really since 2022 when the Dodgers and the Giants, two 100-win teams in the same division, one had to go to the wild card, one won the division, and then they faced each other in the DS. There's not going to be anybody that wins 100 games this season, but it's certainly rare when it does happen. Also, the Cardinals, they are losing to the Twins 4-0 in the top of the fifth inning. They are in danger of falling back under 500. Also, the Cubs, they beat up on the Marlins today. They're back to 500 at 65-65. The Brewers still 10 games clear of the Cubs, as really 11 because of the tiebreaker that they currently hold on them. Looking ahead to the scoreboard here, or looking ahead to the schedule for the Brewers. Tomorrow, same time, same place, 3:07 first pitch here on WTMJ. We're on the air at 2 o'clock with Brewers warm-up Central Time, and I've got you covered there, and with Brewers extra innings after the game, too. Off day on Monday, then it's a weird bit of travel coming up for the Brew Crew. Three games at home against the Giants, then back on the road for four games in 3 days against the Reds, doubleheader in that on Friday. Come right back home for a Monday day game on Labor Day, then two more with St. Louis. You're done with them. Off day, home off day. That is then leading into the last matchup with the Rockies at home, a three-game set with Colorado. Off day again, you come back west one more time. You'll face the Diamondbacks and the Giants on that trip. And then you come back home for maybe the biggest homestand of the year, because quite frankly, as it looks right now, that could be the series that the Brewers clinch the Central, in addition to trying to gain ground on the Phillies as they tussle for that second seed here in the National League. It's going to be quite the race here down the stretch. Every game will matter, and it, you know, when you lose that series to St. Louis, I understood the overreaction by some, but it is the truth. The Brewers feel like they are capable of somehow swiping that second seed heading into the postseason, which I was just talking about it today with my dad, just like, could you imagine in February, after trading Corbin Burns and losing Craig Counsell, that I would tell you the Brewers would be in contention, legitimate contention, with less, you know, with about a month to go, that they could be the number two seed in the National League? It's wild. So tomorrow, it's 32 games to go starting tomorrow, with majority of them coming at home, in fact. And as I'm doing the math real quick in my head, that's 17, that's 20 of these final 32 games will be at home for the Crew. That's pretty great stuff for the Brewers to be looking forward to. Once again, thank you from the bottom of my heart for everybody who listened, to everybody who enjoyed the show today. Hanging out with my dad is always great, getting to talk baseball with him. I know this won't be the end for him with the A's deciding not to renew, you know. Sometimes life throws us a curveball. We can either sit there and get buckled by it or adjust, sit back, and try to drive it the other way. And that's what we will do moving forward. So again, thank you to everybody who let us do highlights of each of our careers today. My thanks to our producer, Evan Witalison, as well. I'm Dominic Catronio. I'll talk to you again tomorrow at 2 o'clock. Brewers win. Going for the sweep. Keep on swinging.